إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, yani the character and morals, or some examples of the character and morals of the prophets alayhi salatu wa salam, that should be taken as a model, an example to be followed. In our book, under discussion, is authored by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And in the first session, we dealt with an introduction to the book and the author, and we began with the muqaddimat, the preliminary or introductory statements, and last week we continued with those muqaddimat. And tonight, inshallah, we continue with the muqaddimat. And keeping in mind, yani the purpose of the preliminary or introductory statements, it is to clarify the importance of the character of the prophets in particular, and the status of the prophets in general. Yani to show the importance of this, so that we realize the significance of this topic. So all of these introductory, preliminary statements, yani we should be keeping in mind that the purpose is for us to what? To focus upon and to realize the importance of this topic. Before we go to the preliminary statements that we want to read tonight, we want to review quickly just a couple of points from last week, from the class from last week, from the questionnaire study guide number 2. Any 5 questions. The first question, discuss al-rifa al-haqiqiyya, yani the true high ranking or standing. And it's 2 types or levels. And this is from the 5th muqaddimah. Yani discuss al-rifa al-haqiqiyya. And it's 2 types. In brief, yani what is al-rifa al-haqiqiyya? And just in brief, what are its 2 types? Naam. Fadlu Ahmed. Al-rifa al-haqiqiyya, the true high standing. Yani the true high... Yani status or recognition or respect that a person yani is looked up to for. It is not based on wealth, it's not based on family lineage, it's not based on power, authority in the society, rather it's based on al-iman billahi, yani having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real yani criterion, the important key factor due to which a person is entitled to be respected and looked up to and is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on what? Based on iman. Al-Iman Billahi Ta'ala. And somebody else tell me, what are those 2 types? Just in a word. What are the 2 types? The 2 types of Al-Rifa Al-Haqiqiyya. Now. Okay, general. The general for the believers. Uh-huh. Over the rest of the people. And the, okay, and the khas. That is, yani based on knowledge from amongst the people of Iman. Now. Inshallah, we'll discuss it a little bit further. But, yani in brief, the 2 types of Al-Rifa Al-Haqiqiyya, the true high standing, the 2 types are, the first of them is al-rifa, yani the high standing that's based on iman, that a person has a high standing, a high status, a high level of respect and honor in front of Allah because they believe in Allah, based on iman. And the second level or type of rifa al-haqiqiyya, yani the higher level, is the level that is based on knowledge. Yani that some of the people of Iman, due to the knowledge that Allah has given to them, their status is higher than the rest of the believers. So these are two types or two levels of high standing, the real high standing. Yani this is based on iman in general, and then more specifically based on knowledge. Yani the beneficial knowledge, the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, the knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, the knowledge of what is pleasing to Allah and displeasing to Allah, and those who are pleasing to Allah and who are displeasing to Allah, and so on. These are the two types. And in these, inshallah, we are from one of those types, right? We have at least the general rifa' al-haqiqiyya, because we are believers. Naam, by Allah's favor and His mercy upon us. And we should recognize this and be, yani, thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has raised us up by granting us iman, by making us to be from the people of iman. And then we shouldn't be content with that, but rather then we should seek the second level of ar-rifa', and that is knowledge. And this requires that a person strive and struggle to seek the correct knowledge, the beneficial knowledge of what Allah has revealed, the things that we need to know that will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should seek this higher level, and not be content with the general rifa', walakin we should seek the more special, specific rifa', the rifa' of ilm. The second question mentions that dalil or evidence with explanation for each of these two types of levels of ar-rifa' al-haqiqiyya. Yani mention the dalil with explanation of these two types. Naam, Ibrahim. You are the Most High if you are indeed believers. Surah Al-Mujadila. Which number is Surah Al-Mujadila? A number. Anybody know? Huh? Fayyid. We should know. Naam, 58. 58:11. Naam. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. What is the meaning of this? Somebody. What is the meaning of this ayah that he just recited? Naam, Musa.
Allah raises
up, yani, in honor those who believe from amongst you. Above the rest of the people who believe, Allah raised them up. Naam. Naam. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ.
And those who have knowledge, levels.
And those who have been given knowledge, yani darajat, levels, higher than the rest of the people that Allah raised up because of their iman. Naam. This is the ayat. What is the explanation of this ayat in terms of the two types or two levels of ar-rifa' al-haqiqiyya? Ar-rifa' al-haqiqiyya, the real high standing. Yani the real respect and honor that, yani, has some weight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does this ayat, how is it a dalil for each of these two types of rifa? How is it a dalil? Naam. Somebody who didn't participate. Somebody else. Help us. Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, fadl. Naam. Salih. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first yani mentions the rifa' al-'amma, the general high standing. Naam. Naam. Yarfa' Allah alladhina amanu minkum. Okay, so Allah says He raised up those who believe from amongst you. This is the first part of the ayah, and it is the first type, the general type of rifa'. For who? For all the believers over the rest of the people who are not believers. Naam. Naam. وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ is the second type of rifa, yani the rifa khasa, the special rifa that is for who? For the people of knowledge from amongst the people who believe. Over the rest of the believers. For the people of knowledge from amongst the believers over the rest of the believers. So these two types of rifa in this ayah are mentioned in one ayah in Surah Al-Mujadila. Yani that Allah raises up, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, those who believe, that is the first type of rifa, And it is al-rifa al-aama, the general rifa for all the believers over the rest of the people who are not believers. وَالَّذِينَ عُوتُ الْعِلْمُ دَرَجَاتٍ, and those who are given knowledge are giving higher degrees. This is the second type of rifa, al-rifa al-thaniya, which is al-rifa al-khasa, the special high standing, which is for the أهل العلم من أهل الإيمان. على سائر أهل الإيمان. أهل الإيمان. يعني it's for the people of knowledge from amongst the believers. And their high standing is over the rest of the believers. يعني the first rifa is for the people of Iman over the people who are not believers. And the second rifa is for the people of knowledge from the people of Iman over the rest of the believers. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. And again, that is important for us to recognize the greatness of the ulama, the Ahlul Ilm in Islam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them such a great gift. And He has honored them due to this gift, the gift of knowledge. And due to which we benefit so much. Because which one of us can read the Quran and understand these meanings without the clarification and explanation of the people of knowledge? Perhaps we read these ayats and we don't know that these are two levels. And we think that they're just one group of people. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ عُوتُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ عُوتُ الْعِلْمُ دَرَجَاتٍ. Maybe we don't even recognize that these are two different levels and that each of them has a status and that one of them is higher than the other. And what is the reason for these يعني, two levels? يعني that one of them is based on Iman and the other one is based on Iman and Ilm. And this is from the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the scholars that we are benefiting from every time we open a book written by a scholar, whether it's tafsir of the Quran, explanation of hadith, or whatever it may be. This is how we benefit from the scholars, by paying careful attention to how they're explaining the matters of our deen to us so that we benefit from what Allah has given to them, due to which Allah raised them up over the rest of the believers. That is the ilm. This is very, very important. The third question discussed the apex, yani the epitome, the highest point of arrifa, high standing. What is the highest type of arrifa? That is, what is it and how does one reach this level? What is it and how does one reach this level? The highest level of arrifa, bil iman, naam. Abdullah, right? Abdullah, yeah, prophethood. Naam. Yani the highest level, the apex of arrifa, Al-Haqiqiyya bil-Iman wal-Ilm, it is prophethood. Yani it is the manzila of al-Nubuwa wal-Risala. The station, the status of prophethood and messengership. Naam. And how does one reach this level? Anybody, somebody else help us. How does one reach this level? Naam. They're chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a fadl from Allah. Ikhtiyar Allah. Allah has chosen them. Allah has yani favored them. That's how a person... nobody can reach this level by striving and struggling for it. They will never reach it. They will not get near to it. You cannot even hope for it, as the Shaykh said. A person cannot even hope for this type of level. Rather, this is a level that's only reached by being chosen, by being selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that He has chosen the best of people, the most fitted, the most suited for this particular high status or station or task of delivering His message to the creation. And the fourth question mentioned two evidences for this highest level or standing that can be reached by the human being. Mentioned two evidences, one of them, for this level. Naam, fadl. Naam, naam, meaning? Naam, Allah chooses from the angels, messengers, and from the people. Allah chooses from the angels, and Allah chooses from the messengers. Allahu yastafi min al-malaika rusulan wa min al-nas. Allah chooses, based on perfect knowledge and wisdom, who are most suited and fitted for this position. This is a proof of this high status that is by the choice of Allah alone. And another ayah, another proof of this, Abdullah. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalatahu. Meaning? Allah knows best where to place His message. Allah knows best who to deposit it with. Who will carry the task? Who will be faithful to it? Who will fulfill the trust? Who will dedicate their life and sacrifice their whole life for the deliverance of this message, for the salvation of their people? or in the case of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the salvation of humanity. Humanity, naam. Another ayat, naam. Meaning? We have chosen them بِخَالِسَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. Yani we have chosen them due to this, yani special, yani distinction, this honorable quality or characteristic, and that is the remembrance, the constant remembrance of the hereafter. That their life, their whole life is focused on this. They are not seeking the dunya, rather their whole life is focused upon the remembrance of and striving for and fulfilling the obligations due to which a person might achieve the reward of Allah in the hereafter. In the hereafter. And the anybody know the rest of what came after this? Naam. وَإِنَّهُمْ عَنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Meaning? Naam, the outstanding, the chosen outstanding ones. Naam. And these ayat, the first of them is mentioned in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 75th ayah. And the second of them is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 124th ayah. And the third of them is mentioned in Surah Al-Sad, 38th Surah, 46th and 47th ayah. And the last question mentioned a dalil or evidence for the preference of some prophets or messengers, alayhi wasalam, over others. Naam, Abu Sa'id. Naam, some Allah has spoken to directly. Uh-huh. Naam, Musa. Naam, where is this mentioned at? Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah. Naam, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 253. And in the same ayah that he mentioned, that Abu Sa'id mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, these are the messengers. Yani the prophets and messengers, those who had selected and chosen to deliver the message to the people. Minhum man kallam Allah. From amongst them, there's who Allah has spoken to directly. That is who? Musa alayhi salam. وَرَفَعَ بَعْدُهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. And Allah has raised some of them up, darajat. And this, yani, more specifically than to any other prophet or messenger, refers to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he is the one who Allah has raised up the highest degrees over all other prophets and messengers. He is the best of them. Naam. So these are some of the points that we covered last week, and we want to continue with this seventh muqaddimah, which we didn't complete last week. I've been overtaken by time. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. We want to continue here where we left off with al-muqaddimah al-sabi'ah, the seventh muqaddimah, in which we mentioned that the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, that some of them excel and surpass others. And then we mentioned this ayat, and then the shaykh mentions the ayat that these are the messengers. We have given preference to some of them over others. Some of them, or from them, is he whom Allah has spoken to, and he has raised some of them, yani degrees, to degrees, high degrees of excellence and honor and preference. And this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 253. And we read some of the tafsir, yani from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning this ayat, in which he mentioned some very important points. And from amongst the points that he mentioned, I just want to reiterate one of them, and that is that the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of a prophet or a messenger, based on Allah's perfect knowledge and wisdom, we should understand from this that these are the best of humanity, they're the best of creation, and these people are fully trustworthy, and therefore they are yani described with al-isma. That is, we don't mean infallibility in the sense that they are divine or that they are yani perfect and they are not human, but rather in the sense of delivering the message, they will not fail to deliver the message and to deliver it as it has been given to them. They are protected in their deliverance of the message and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them responsible for. And after this, yani, the Shaykh says, yani, after mentioning this ayat, that these are the messengers and some of them we have preferred over others, he said, he mentions 3 degrees of preference. 3 degrees of preference amongst the prophets and messengers, that some of them are preferred and given excellence and surpass others from amongst the prophets and messengers. The first of them is Ulul Azm. Yani, those prophets and messengers who are known to be a firm resolve. Firm resolve. Ulul Azm. These are afdalu ar-rusul wa afdal yani fa ulul azm afdal ar-rusul. They are the best of the messengers, and they are Nuh. By the way, yes, who are the ulul azm? The first of them, in order, Nuh alayhi salam. Naam. And then after Nuh, Ibrahim, wa Musa, wa Isa, wa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa alayhi salatu wasalam kullum. Naam. So these are ulul azm, yani those of firm resolve who have a higher status and a preference over the rest of the prophets and messengers. Starting first with Nuh alayhi salam, and then yani Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam wa ala jami' al-anbiya wa rusul. After this he says, wa afdalu ulul azmi al-khalilan Ibrahim wa Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the best of those prophets and messengers of firm resolve are the two Khalil, Khalilan, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani the best of ulul azm are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for his close companionship. Yani the most beloved of the prophets and messengers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَفْضَلُ الْخَلِيلَيْنِ نَبِيُّنَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَهُوَ أَفْضَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ بِتَفْضِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى جَمِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ أَفْضَلُ وَأَزْكَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. And here the Shaykh he says, and the third level of preference amongst the prophets and messengers is that, yani from amongst the two Khalils, beloved, dear beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst them, yani the best of them too, it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for he is the best of all prophets and messengers by having been given preference by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah is the one who has given him preference and excellence over the rest of the messengers, and may the salat and salam, the best of it and the purest of this, be upon all of the prophets and messengers. This is al-muqaddima al-sabiya, yani that amongst the prophets and messengers, there are levels of preference, and the first of them is ulul azm, the prophets and messengers of firm resolve, and the second of them is al-khalilan, that is Ibrahim and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala jami', and the third of them is the excellence of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above all the prophets and messengers. And here the Shaykh makes a note which is of the most importance. The Shaykh, he makes a note here, he said, هنا أمر لا بد أن نعلمه لأهميته في تقرير البدع والسنن. That here is a matter that we must know due to the importance of the confirmation or the establishment of what is bid'a, what things are innovations and what things are sunan. فالتفضيل المكان والتفضيل الزمان والتفضيل الإنسان مردها إلى الشارع الحكيم. This is the qaida that the Shaykh mentions concerning how do we determine, how do we establish, how do we confirm what is sunnah and what is bid'ah. He said in this issue of preference, of yani the preference that is given to a place, or the preference that is given to a time, or the preference that is given to any human being, whether or not it is a preference that is legitimate, that is valid, that is accepted, well, the rule is that how to determine it, it goes back to al-shari' al-hakim, yani the wise legislator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani it is Allah who determines that a place has preference or excellence over another place, or that any time has preference or excellence over another time, or any human being has preference or excellence over any other human being. So here, the topic of this muqaddama, it is the excellence and preference of some prophets and messengers over others. The Shaykh is saying, and the same rule that how one prophet is considered preferable or more excellent than another, it is based on Allah giving them preference. And likewise, any place that is more excellent or better than another place, it has to be by Allah determining that. Or a time is better than another time because Allah has decided that. And in the absence of a proof or evidence from the Sharia, then whoever declares that there is a time or a place or a person that is better than another without proof from the Quran, from the Sharia al-Hakim, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person has gone outside of the realms of what Allah has legislated and what Allah has preferred, and their preference is rejected. So the Shaykh, he says, the giving of preference to a place or to a time or to a person, it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who legislates and declares and decides and establishes or determines which place or which time or which person is better or superior to another. فَالرُّسُلُ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So the messengers, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَتَفَاضَلُونَ, يعني have some excellence or preference of some over others. وَالَّذِي فَاضَلَ بَيْنَهُمْ هُوَ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَهُمْ. And the one who has distinguished between them and given preference to one over another, it is Allah, the one who has sent them. And this is what we mentioned in the ayat, يعني of this مُقَدَّمَة, تِلْكَ الرُّسُولُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. يعني these are the messengers, we, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have given preference of some of them over others. وَالْبِقَاء تَتَفَاضَلُوا. يعني in even the places, in the lands, the places in the earth, some of them excel or surpass others. فَالْمَسَاجِدْ أَفْضَلْ الْبِقَاء لِأَنَّ الشَّرْعْ فَضَّلَهَا. And indeed the masjids, they are the best places in the earth. And this is because the Sharia of Allah has given preference to them over other places, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahabbu al-bilad ila Allah al-masajid." The most beloved of places in the earth are the masajid. The most beloved of places in the earth are the masajid, and the worst of places in the earth are the what? Aswaq, the marketplaces. Naam, the marketplaces. And here we can add, yani, to this point, that from amongst the more excellent and superior places in the earth, yani besides the masjids, particular places is what? That's excellent. Excellent places in the earth. Besides the masajid. The Shaykh mentioned the masajid. Beside the masajid. Naam. Okay. Certain masjids are even preferable over other masjids. Al-Masjid al-Haram in Mecca is better than the other masjids. And after that, Al-Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina and Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And for besides masajid, places in the earth, lands, what places are preferable? Okay, gatherings of knowledge, that's a situation, but as far as places, is there any place in the earth that's better than the rest of the places in the earth? Mecca. Mecca. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to Mecca over the rest of the places in the earth. And Allah has given preference to Medina. Because of the place, Medina, so the Masjid in Medina has preference. Because of the place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to that place, and therefore He has given preference to that masjid, and so on. And the Shaykh, he goes on to say, وَالْأَزْمِنَ تَتَفَاضَلُوا فَلِرَمَضَانْ فَضْلٌ وَلِيَوْمِ الْعَرَفَ فَضْلٌ وَلِيَوْمِ الْعَاشُورَ وَلِسْتِيَامِهِ فَضْلٌ وَهَكَذَا. And likewise, there are times of the year, some of them being preferable to others. So for example, for Ramadan, there's a preference, an excellence, a superiority, Ramadan, over the other months of the year. And for the day of Arafah, there's a preference and an excellence for that day. The day of the people standing in Hajj on Arafah has preference over other days. And Yawm al-Ashura, what is Yawm al-Ashura, by the way? What is Yawm al-Ashura? Huh? the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued Fir'aun and his people, rescued Musa alayhi salam and his people from Fir'aun. So this is a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to over other days. And these are examples that the Shaykh has mentioned. He said, وَحَكَذَا, and so on, like this. Yani some days, some months, sometimes, yani some hours of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference over other hours of the day, like the hour of what? The time, okay, Asr, naam, but more specifically, there's an hour on Yawm al-Jum'ah in which dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has given preference, but these preferences are established and confirmed and determined based on evidence from the Sharia. So the Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this, that the excellence of people and the excellence of place and the excellence of time is determined by the Sharia. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَنْ يُفَضِّلُ إِنسَانًا أَوْ مَكَانًا أَوْ زَمَانًا تَفْضِيلًا شَرَعِيًّا دُونَ نَصٍ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّ تَفْضِيلَهُ ذَلِكَ وَذَاكَ بَابٌ إِلَى الْبِدْعَةِ. So if you see any person giving preference or declaring excellence of any human being or any place or any time, yani a preference determining that some place or time or person has excellence in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are making this declaration or this claim without a nas, yani a textual proof from the Sharia, then know that this preference or this claim of excellence is a doorway that leads to innovation. And we have seen this on many occasions. From the examples of that are the so-called saints, the people that are buried in these graves that people go to worship. They claim these saints have excellence that has not been determined, has not been established in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on. Okay, after this, Al-Muqaddima Al-Thamina. Al-Muqaddima Al-Thamina. The eighth Muqaddima. من عظيم مكانة الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام ورفيع منزلتهم والشريف مرتبتهم أن الفطر تطمئن لصدق دعوتهم. And in my book there's a printing mistake. It says لصادق دعوتهم. It should be لصدق دعوتهم وصدق ألسنتهم ومقالهم. That from the greatness and the magnificence of the position of prophets, yani the status of the prophets, and their lofty station, and their noble status, yani due to this great position or station or status of the prophets, al-fitr, yani the nature of the human beings is at rest, at ease, with the sincerity of their call. Yani due to the high status of the prophets and messengers, the nature of the human being accepts, is at peace, at rest, with the truthfulness of what they are calling to. وَصِدْكَ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَمَقَالِهِمْ. And the truthfulness of their tongues and their words. وَأَنَّ الْأُقُولَ تَقْطَعُ بِصِحَّةِ كَلَامِهِمْ وَبِحَقِيقَةِ دَعْوَتِهِمْ. And even the uqul, the minds of the people, the intellect of the human beings, yani confirms with definiteness, taqta'u, without a doubt, the validity of their speech and the reality of their call, their da'wah. And even the hearts, wal kulub tatma'innu wa tastaqina li sidqi ma ja'u bihi. And the hearts are at rest, at ease, and trust the truthfulness of that which they have come with. Yani the fitr, the nature of the human being, the aql, the intellect of the human being, and the hearts of the human being are at rest, are at peace, and trust yani the truthfulness of the call and the message and the reality of that which the prophets and messengers have come with. وَذَلِكَ لِمَا لِلْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ مِنْ عَظِيمَ الرُّطْبَةِ والشريف المنزلة ولأن دعوتهم هي دعوة التوحيد وهي دعوة الحق وما سواها فباطل. And this, yani acceptance by the heart and the mind and the very nature of the human being, of what the prophets and messengers have come with, this is due to, yani, the magnificent status and the noble station of the prophets and messengers, due to the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. And also, it is due to the fact that their da'wah, their call, that was their calling to, it is da'wah to tawheed. So what better call then, that we call to, than da'wah to a tawheed? And also, and due to, because their call is da'wah to tawheed, and that is the da'wah al-haq, the true da'wah, and whatever is beside that, indeed, it is batil, false. Yani, due to the status of the prophets and messengers, and due to what they're calling to, the message that they're calling to. So if any one of us, yani, has any respect or honor due to our practicing of Islam and following of the sunnah and exemplifying this deen, then this is the first step to the acceptance of the call that we have come with. That the people look at you as someone that is respectable, that is honorable, that's noble, that's truthful. And then secondly, the call itself, the message that you are coming with, that is unpolluted, that is clean, it's pure, it's true. And for this reason, the da'wah to al-haq, the da'wah to tawheed, it is the strongest da'wah. And the only reason, or the main reason, why people would not accept it, is either because of the corruption of their souls, the pollution of their minds and their hearts, or due to the failings of ourselves in the way we deliver the message. Because of, yani, what we represent. Instead of representing Islam, we represent corruption. They say these people are like the rest of the people. They are using intoxicants, they are messing with women, they are gambling, they are engaging in corruption and filth. What is the difference? Or, if we are not engaging in those things, the way we approach the people, our manners, our character, our behavior, may run the people away from this da'wah, as we have seen in this era, in this day and time, across the world today. And that's one of the reasons why this topic is of great importance to us, because if we are the people of da'wah to tawheed, then that da'wah in and of itself, it is, yani, sufficient for a person to accept it. Their heart, their mind, their soul accepts it, except that there's something wrong with us, and this is why we are examining and looking at the character of the prophets and the messengers, who are those who delivered the messages of Allah to their people. If we are going to deliver this message, then we must take on the character and the manners and the morals of the prophets in order to be, yani, a proper vessel or conveyance for this message of at-tawheed. Al-Muqaddima At-Tasiya. The ninth muqaddima. After mentioning the high status and the great and magnificent position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the prophets and messengers, the Shaykh says, Al-Muqaddima At-Tasiya, Ma'azim Sharf al-Anbiya alayhim as-salam, wa rafi' martabatihim, illa annahum basharun. Yani, this muqaddima, this preliminary statement, is related to what? Along with, or in addition to, or in spite of the magnificent of the honored status of the prophets and messengers, and the high, lofty, sublime station of the prophets and messengers, illa annahum basharun, but nonetheless they are still human beings. In spite of that, they are human beings. Naam, they are human beings. Yamraduna, they become sick. Wayahzanuna, and they grieve and worry. وَيَبْقُونَ, and they cry. وَتَضِيقُ صُدُورُهُمْ, and their hearts become tightened and straightened from the difficulties of the affair. وَيَمُوتُونَ, and they die. Naam, they have a high status of honor and respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised them up above the rest of the human beings. However, they are still human beings. They are human beings. Naam, they get sick, they cry, they worry, and they die. And they die, like other human beings. And here the Shaykh mentions a number of ayats, and the tafsir of these ayats are all important, yani, but yani, for the sake of time, inshallah, yani, let us all take it upon ourselves to go back and look at the tafsir of these ayats, yani, at least from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, or whatever is available from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, or other tafsir that might be available to us. Let's go back and look at some of these ayats just to have a glimpse of some of the great meanings and important meanings from these many ayats that the Shaykh mentions here concerning what? Concerning the bashariya, the humanness, the humanity of the prophets and messengers. Na'am, they are the best of humanity, but they are still human beings. The first ayat the Shaykh mentions in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 43rd ayat, 1643. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have not sent before you except men. Yani, men in the sense of masculine males, but more so in the sense of human beings. But they were all men. Now, the prophets and messengers were all men. And we have, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Yani, we have not sent before you, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِلَّا رِجَالًا, except men. نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ, whom we have given revelation to. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people of the dhikr if you do not know. And here the meaning of the Ahlul Dhikr, yani, in reference to the revelation of this ayat, is in reference to the Ahlul Kitab, because they are the people that revelations came to them. So ask them if you don't know, meaning the people of Mecca, the pagans of Mecca, you don't know about revelation, ask the people of the book. They know that revelations only came through human beings, not through angels. Allah always sent men, human beings, not angels. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So ask the people of the dhikr if you don't know. And the general meaning of this ayat, yani, has greater meanings, but this is the meaning here in terms of this particular ayat in, yani, the circumstances under which it was revealed. After this, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 12th ayat, فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكٌ بَعْدَ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَضَائِكٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. That perhaps you would leave some of what has been revealed to you. وَضَائِكٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ. And that your heart, your chest, your breast is straightened due to it. Yani, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَنْبَغِي. It's not becoming of you to be, yani, uptight, to be, for your chest to become straightened. Yani, for you to be worried about what they're saying. It's not becoming of you, because these people, what they're saying is based on what? Based on ignorance, based on corruption, based on, yani, following desires, based on falsehood. So don't even pay them any mind, but stay focused on your mission and, yani, be firm. But this ayah shows what? Yani, that perhaps, yani, your chest, your breast is straightened, you became uptight, you became concerned from the challenges of these people. And after this, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Shu'ara, 26th Surah, 80th ayat, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I became sick, then He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cures me. Yani, prophets and messengers get sick, na'am. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hajj, 15th Surah, 97th ayat, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And indeed, we know certainly, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we know certainly that your heart, your chest, your breast becomes straightened, بِمَا يَقُولُونَ, due to what they are saying. Yani, this is what? This is from the nature of the human being. Human beings worry, become concerned about things. Allah doesn't worry about anything, He has power over everything. But the human being can worry. This is, yani, from the humanness, the humanity of the prophets and messengers. So the Shaykh says, فَالْأَنْبِيَاءُ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ بَشْرٌ لَيْسَ فِيهِمْ شَيْءٌ مِّن صِفَاتِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ أَوَ الْأُولُوهِيَّةِ. That indeed, the prophets and messengers, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, they are human beings, and they do not have any of the characteristics of الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ or الْأُولُوهِيَّةِ. Yani, arububiyya, of lordship. Yani, they don't have any of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His rububiyya, nor of His uluhiyya, yani, His divinity, His right to be worshipped. And this is a very important, yani, muqaddimah, that the human beings, yani, that, I mean, the prophets and messengers, that they are human beings. In spite of their high status, they do not have characteristics of rububiyya. nor do they have characteristics of uluhiyya. They don't have any characteristics of divinity. They don't control the universe. They don't create. They are not in control of anything. Allah is in control of everything, and therefore they have no right to be worshipped with any type of worship. It all belongs to Allah alone. And the Shaykh goes on to say, from Surah Al-Anbiya, yani concerning the humanity or the humanness of the Prophets and Messengers, 21st Surah, 34th Ayat, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدَ أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. And we have not made for any human being before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not given to any human being before you al-khulda, yani immortality, that they will live forever. And this is, as some of the scholars of Sunnah said, is a proof against the false idea that there is a man still living named what? Khidr. That he's still living. There's no human being that has been given immortality. Even though the prophets and messengers, as the Shaykh says, talks about later on, even though they are given a choice at the time of their death to live a longer life, not eternity, not immortality, but a longer life, or to, yani, choose that which is with Allah for them. Yani, to live longer or to go on and meet their Lord. But no human being is given, yani, immortality. So we have not given to any human being before you immortality. So if you die, will they then be given, yani, immortality? Would they live on forever? Yani, meaning, yani, if you are going to die, and you certainly are, then certainly everyone, all human beings must die. And the last ayah that the Shaykh mentions concerning this muqaddimah, is from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 50th Ayat. 6th Surah, 50th Ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُوا إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْعَامَى وَالْبَصِيرِ أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Say, yani Allah is commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ, I am not saying to you that I have with me, I am in control of the treasures of Allah, of everything that is in the earth that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, and I am not claiming that I know the unseen. Yani the treasures of the earth belong to Allah, He's the one who is in control of them. And the unseen is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ, and I am not saying to them, I'm an angel even. Yani rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded by Allah to declare here himself to be only a human being, in attabi'u illa ma yuha ilayhi, that I am only a human being who follows that which has been revealed to me. And this is a distinction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all prophets and messengers, that yes, they are human beings, they are not angels, they don't control the universe, they're not in control of the treasures of the heavens and the earth, it all belongs to Allah, but the distinction of the rest of human beings is that they have been given wahyi. This is a distinction of the prophets and messengers, though they are human beings. He said, I am none of this, but I am a human being following that which has been revealed to me. Say, are they equal, the blind and the one who sees? أَفَلَا تَتَفَكَّرُونَ, do they not reflect, contemplate on this matter? After this, the Shaykh mentions the next muqaddimah, al-muqaddimah al-ashira, yani the 10th preliminary statement. And after mentioning that prophets and messengers are human beings, then the Shaykh goes back to the excellence and the superiority of the prophets and messengers over the rest of humanity. Let it be clear to us, prophets and messengers are human beings, but they are superior to everyone else. Naam. And here the Shaykh says, the 10th muqaddimah, it is, مَعَ بَشَرِيَتِهِمْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَقَدْ خَصَّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِخَصَائِصْ دُونَ النَّاسِ وَهَذِهِ الْخَصَائِصْ لَا يُخْرُجُهُمْ عَنْ دَائِرَةِ الْبَشَرِيَّةِ لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى خَصَّهُمْ وَاصْطَفَاهُمْ بِهَا دُونَ غَيْرِهِمْ. Yani, along with the acceptance and the acknowledgement of the bashariyah, the humanness of the prophets and messengers alayhi salatu wasalam, Indeed, Allah has singled them out. خَصَّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِخَصَائِصِ دُونَ النَّاسِ. With some special qualities, exclusive for them to the exclusion of the rest of humanity. Special features, qualities or characteristics that are exclusive to them. Yani, to the exclusion of the rest of humanity. And these khasais, these special characteristics or features, does not take them outside of the bashariya, of being human beings. Yani, these are special characteristics or qualities that are exclusive to them. Other human beings are not given this, but this does not cause them to go outside of being human. They are still human. Yani, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has singled them out. And He has chosen them for these special characteristics to the exclusion of others besides them, yani other human beings. فَمِنْ خَصَائِصِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُلِ دُونَ النَّاسِ الْوَحْيِ. So from amongst the special characteristics or qualities of the prophets and messengers to the exclusion of the rest of the people is الْوَحْيِ. الْوَحْيِ, revelation. Naam. Allah has given them revelation. You know, there are many ayats in the Quran that mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealing yani revelations to the prophets and messengers. From amongst them is that which we just read, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا يُوحَى إِلَيْهِمْ. That we have not sent anyone before you except men who we have given revelation to. Yani, these people who are sent, the prophets and messengers, they are the only people who are given revelation. It's not like somebody said recently, a famous speaker, somebody gave me this CD and he said, and wait until Allah gives you some revelation. I don't know what kind of revelation he was talking about. Allahu A'lam. But revelation is exclusive to the prophets and messengers. We should listen carefully to the people who are in front of us when they are speaking. Especially if we don't know who these people are. Or we don't really know the reality of these people. They might say anything. And some people just pass over like they didn't say anything. Like it wasn't nothing special said. Wait until Allah gives you revelation? What kind of revelation are you waiting for? And probably nobody blinked an eye. I wasn't present, but I heard the CD. And normally I don't listen to this nonsense, but and I just wanted to hear it for myself. Because sometimes people lie on other people. And we are not the people who lie on other people because we differ with them. Because they oppose us. Because they are from the people of deviation. We don't have to lie on them. It's sufficient what they have said themselves from their own mouths. If you confirm that they have said it, attribute it to them. But without that, don't attribute to people that which you don't know they have done or said. This is a very dangerous minhaj that has spread amongst us today. I'm saying this because it's dangerous that you just spread what somebody told you and you didn't confirm it. This is not the minhaj of Islam, that you say things about people, you don't even know that it's true. Rather, even if you know it's true, unless you have a justification to say it, then we don't even say bad things about people that they wouldn't like said about them from amongst the Muslims. Even if they are enemies. We don't do that because that's what? Ghibah. Backbiting. And from amongst the khasais of the prophets and messengers, وَمِنْهَا الْعِصْمَةِ. Yani, الْعِصْمَةِ. Generally it is translated as yani infallibility, but what does infallibility here mean? We mentioned earlier, yani, or we alluded to this earlier when we were talking about the prophets and messengers delivering the message, that they have isma in delivering the message. That is, they are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any kind of deviation or leaving out something or adding anything to the message that they are delivering. They have isma in this sense. They are, in this sense, you can say they're infallible, meaning they don't make any mistake about what they are delivering. What they're delivering is what Allah sent them with. And if they made an error as a human being, Allah corrects it. He doesn't leave it. He doesn't confirm them on an error or mistake that they make. Rather, Allah corrects it. He sends revelation and corrects it. So the prophets and messengers, what they deliver is perfect. It is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars about this topic, and this is not our topic, but in any case, just to mention it, that from amongst the scholars of Islam, yani there are those who say prophets and messengers don't commit any kind of sin, major or minor. And the correct view concerning this, as Shaykh al-Islam outlines in innumerable pages of evidences from Quran and Sunnah, that the prophets and messengers are free. They are excluded. They are protected from committing major sins, not from minor sins. Some of them might commit some minor sins, and the Quran is full of proofs of them repenting from them. The Quran itself is full of proofs of this. As Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah outlines, yani page after page after page of evidences from the Quran that prove that the prophets and messengers are not yani protected. They are not free. Not every one of them is free from every single minor mistake or error or sin. Rather, they are protected from major sins. And they are protected in delivering the message that Allah has sent them with. And the third, yani from the khasais, the third khasisa of the prophets and messengers were minha, أَنَّ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَنَامُ لَكِنْ قُلُوبَهُمْ لَا تَنَامُ. Yani that their eyes sleep, but their hearts do not sleep. And this is mentioned in a long hadith. The Shaykh mentions in the footnote, yani part of that hadith, وَكَذَلِكَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ تَنَامُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ وَلَا تَنَامُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That, and likewise the prophets, their eyes sleep, but their hearts do not sleep. Reported by Al-Bukhari, 7517. Yani the number of the hadith, 7517. Yani this is from the khasais of the prophets and messengers, that their eyes sleep, when they go to sleep, their eyes are asleep, but their hearts are not asleep. And the fourth of the khasais of the prophets and messengers that the Shaykh mentions, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُمْ يُخَيَّرُونَ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ هَلْ تُرِيدُ أَن تَبْقَى بَشَرًا مُخَلَّدًا أَوْ أَن تَمُوتَ. Yani, and from the fourth khasisa, or the from the fourth of the khasais of the prophets and messengers, that they are given a choice to choose at the time of their death, do they want to remain as a human being, yani to live a longer life, a long, long life, mukhalladan, yani live long, long life, or antamut, yani, or at that time, are they ready to go? Yani, the time that's appointed for their death, do they want to go on? Allah gives them a choice. That's a real choice that they have. Or are they, do they just want to return to Allah? Yani the choice between what? Living a longer life in this dunya or returning to Allah and enjoying that which is with Allah for them. And one of the proofs of this, that the meaning here, yani is this, is the story of Musa alayhi salam. It's a long story. Most of us may be familiar with it. That when the angel of death came to him to take him, he did what to the angel of death? Knocked out his eye. And the angel of death went back to Allah and said, your servant, you sent me to take him, he doesn't want to go. He wants to live. So Allah sent him back again, fixed his eye first, right, and sent him back and said, go and ask him, do you want to live? Meaning, do you want to live forever? No, do you want to live longer? This hadith is a proof that the meaning of this is that they can live longer. He said, ask him, do you want to live longer or are you ready to go? And Musa, so he told him, do you want to live longer? If so, put your hand over this ox and the hairs that you touch for every hair, you will live a year. And if you touch 100 of them, you live 100 more years. Or whatever, long time, right? Then Musa said, okay, and then after that what? Then you're going to die. Not forever, you can't live forever, you got to die. Musa said, okay, let me go back to Allah. I don't need to live longer. I return to my Lord. Okay, this hadith is a clear proof, reported by Bukhari, Muslim and others, clear proof of what? That the here, the choice for the prophets and messengers is not to live forever, but it's rather to live for a longer life, and then eventually you have to die and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that longer life could be full of pleasures and joys for a prophet and messenger. But what is with Allah is better than anything in this dunya. And all of them, they chose Ar-Rafiq Al-A'la. As the Prophet Muhammad said, return to Ar-Rafiq Al-A'la. Naam. After this, the Shaykh says, number five, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّهُمْ يُدْفَنُونَ فِي الْمَكَانَ الَّذِي مَاتُوا فِيهِ. That they will be buried in the place in which they died in it. وَقَدْ جَاءَ في الحديث, and it has been mentioned in the hadith, ما قبض نبي إلا دفن حيث يقبض, that no prophet soul has been taken except that he is buried in that very place where his soul has been taken. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Nasai and Ibn Majah and others, وفيه ضعف, and it contains some weakness, and there's a long discussion about it. We don't have time to discuss it, but يعني, there are some scholars who accept it as yani being yani an acceptable hadith, and there are some who have yani considered it as weak. From among some, Imam Malik narrates a narration similar to it that he says is yani sahih. In any case, yani it is generally accepted that the prophets, as it happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was buried in the place where his soul was taken, yani in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. And after this, the sixth khasisa, وَمِنْهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَنْ تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادَهُمْ, that Allah has made it forbidden for the earth to eat their bodies, yani to consume their bodies, to consume the bodies of the prophets and messengers. And yani in Abu Dawood, with an isnad that's sahih, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih ala shart al-Muslim, yani the wording is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala harrama ala al-ard ajsad al-anbiya, that He has made forbidden for the earth to take or to consume the bodies of the prophets and messengers, or as it says here, al-anbiya, the prophets, meaning the prophets and messengers. And Shaykh al-Albani said that this hadith is sahih ala shart Muslim. And from amongst the earlier scholars who considered it sahih is Al-Hakim, Al-Dhahabi, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Nawawi, rahimahumullah. Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, said it is a well-known hadith and it is accepted by the scholars, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it prohibited for the earth to consume their bodies. And the Shaykh, he mentions, what if a person says that this one is also something that is given to other than the prophets and messengers, meaning the shuhada, yani the martyrs, the people who died as the shaheed, then the earth also doesn't consume their body. He said, yes, yani, but however, this is a khasisa that is for every single prophet and messenger, for every single prophet and messenger, as opposed to others besides them. Naam, it might be given to some to the exclusion of others, but it's given to every single prophet and messenger, that the earth does not consume their bodies. And after this, the Shaykh mentions number seven, the seventh of them, and this is the last khasisa that he mentions for the prophets and messengers, وَمِنَّ أَنَّهُمْ أَحْيَاءٌ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ يُصَلُّونَ, and that is that they are living in their graves performing salah, يُصَلُّونَ. And this has been mentioned in authentic hadith reported from Anas. Shaykh al-Albani mentions al-Sahih and Jami al-Sahih, and a number of the scholars mentioned this hadith, and the Shaykh said that it is Sahih, al-Anbiya'u ahya'un, the prophets are living, fi quburihim, in their graves, yusalluna, performing salat, al-Anbiya ahya'un fi quburihim, yusallun. And this is not so surprising, right? Because we know, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا قَتَلُهُ يَقِينًا, yani in reference to who? Isa alayhi salam, that they definitely did not kill him. Rather, رَفَعُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِ, Allah raised him up to himself. So he is what? Living until Allah sends him back to the earth to do what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us he would do after being raised up to Allah. Yani, so it is not surprising, and not only that, yani, the martyrs are living in the bellies of birds in Jannah, going from place to place as they like. Naam. So this is not so strange. The أَنَّهُمْ أَحْيَاءٌ فِي قُبُورُهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ, yani the prophets and messengers, they are alive in their graves performing salah. Yani except Isa, he's not in his grave, right? He is what? With Allah. Naam. After this, the Shaykh mentions, and we don't have a lot of time, but we'll at least start this, yani al-muqaddimah al-hadi ashara. المقدمة الحادية عشرة, the 11th preliminary statement. يعني the Shaykh talks here about the خصائص of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. كما أن للأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام خصائص دون الناس فإن أفضلهم وهو نبي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام له خصائص دون سائر الأنبياء عليهم السلام, فهو يشارك الأنبياء عليهم السلام فيما سبق من الخصائص ويزيد عليهم بخصائص له دون غيره. Yani just as there is for the prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam special characteristics or qualities to the exclusion of the rest of humanity, then indeed the best of them, that is our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, he also has some khasa'is, special qualities or characteristics to the exclusion of the rest of the prophets and messengers, that are for him exclusively, not for the rest of the prophets and messengers. So he shares with them in that which has been mentioned of the special qualities of the prophets and messengers in general, and then he has been given beyond that extra special qualities and characteristics that are for him to the exclusion of anyone else besides him. And we'll mention the two hadith, and perhaps we can stop with that. The first hadith the Shaykh mentions six of the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And the second hadith that he mentions five of them. Yani of the six that are mentioned in the first hadith, four of them are mentioned in the second hadith. And one extra that's not mentioned in the first hadith. So how many does that make? Saba, yani six, plus one extra. The second hadith mentions five, but four of them we already had. And there's one extra that's not mentioned in the first hadith that makes seven. And then the Shaykh mentions one that's not in either of these hadith that makes eight. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned, yani from Lumat al-Itiqad, innumerable khasais of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, so these are like, yani some examples, right? ففي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يعني in the hadith of Abu Huraira he said I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول saying فضلت على الأنبياء بست I have been given excellence and preference and superiority over the prophets all of the other prophets and messengers with six things عطيت جوامع الكلم I have been given comprehensive speech, jawami al-kalim. Yani meaning, speech that is a few words, but a lot of meaning. Just a few words, but a lot of meaning. Comprehensive in its meaning, though few in words. Wa nusirtu bil-ru'ub. By the way, this first one is not mentioned in the second hadith. This one, jawami al-kalim, is not mentioned in the second hadith. Wa nusirtu bil-ru'ub. And I have been given victory, aid and help. I have been made triumphant over my enemies due to ru'ub, fear that has been placed in the hearts of his enemies. And in the second hadith he mentioned, masir tashar, yani the distance of 1 month. And even if they were 1 month away, once I made intention to go there, fear has already been placed into their heart. The Prophet saw him given victory by what? By Allah putting fear into the hearts of his enemies, even if they were long distance away. وَأُحِلَّتْ لِي الْغَنَائِمْ And the ghanaim, yani the spoils of war have been made lawful for me, halal. And even though they were not made lawful for anyone of the prophets before him. وَجُعِلَتْ لِي الْأَرْضُ تَهُورًا وَمَسْجِدًا And the earth has been made for me, yani for me and my ummah, تَهُورًا, a means of purification, yani tahur, yani the thing that you purify yourself with, وَمَسْجِدٍ and a place of prayer. And tahur is different from tuhur, just as wadu is different from wudu. Wudu is the process of purification, and wadu is the water that you use for purification. And tuhur is the process of purification, and tahur is the thing that you use for the purification, which is the surface soil of the earth. The Prophet ﷺ said what? وَجُعِلَتْ لِي الْأَرْضُ تَهُورًا The earth has been made something that I can purify myself with, a means of purification, a masjid and a place of prayer. And in the second hadith he said, so any person from amongst my ummah, wherever the salat overcame him, the time of the salat came, he can pray there. And he has a place to pray, and he has that which he can purify himself with, even if he didn't have water, he can use the surface soil of the earth. وَأُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَةً And I have been sent to all of the creation, Yani, everyone, kafatan, all of them, and the six of them, and this one is not mentioned in the following hadith, this one and the first one, yani, wa khutima bi an-nabiyun, and prophets and messengers were sealed with me. Yani, meaning that I am the seal of the prophets, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, khatim an-nabiyin. He is the seal of the prophets. And this is the six, yani, that are mentioned in this hadith. Jawami al-Kalim, comprehensive speech. I've been given victory by fear being placed in the hearts of my enemies. The spoils of war have been made lawful for me. The earth has been made a means of purification and a place of prayer for me. And I have been sent to the whole of creation, all of humanity, not just to my people alone like other prophets. And prophethood has been sealed with me. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, the hadith of Abu Huraira and the Muslim. And the second hadith, and we're going to start with this hadith, عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما from Jabir the son of Abdullah may Allah be pleased with both of them and the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم قال that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said أوتيت خمسا I have been given five لم يعتهن أحدا قبلي no one before me has been given these five things four of them we already mentioned and one of them is extra not from the previous hadith نصرت بالرعب مسيرة الشهر I have been given victory over my enemies Yani by fear being placed in their hearts, even if the distance of 1 month, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضَ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, and the earth has been made for me a place of prayer and a means of purification. فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلْيُصَلِّ. So any person from amongst my ummah, if the salat, the time for the salat reaches him, and it overcomes him, فَلْيُصَلِّ, then he can pray there, wherever he is in the earth. أُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْمَغَانِمْ, and the maghanim, يعني the ghanima, the spoils of war has been made lawful for me. وَلَمْ تَحِلَّ لِأَعْدٍ قَبْلِي, and it had not been made lawful for anyone before me. And this one is the one that we didn't mention before. وَعُطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَ, and I have been given الشَّفَاعَ, that is intercession, meaning on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ, and the fifth of the one of from this hadith, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم يُبَعَثُ إِلَى قَوْمِهِ خَاسَةً وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَةً. And it was that a prophet, in the past, the prophets, they were sent to their people, خَاسَةً, especially only to their people. وَبُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَةً, but I have been sent to the humanity in general, all human beings. In the previous hadith, he said, أُرْسِلْتُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ كَافَةً, I have been sent to the whole of creation, all of them. And in this one, يعني بُعِثْتُ إِلَى النَّاسِ عَامَةً, I have been sent to all people in general. After this, the Shaykh mentions, after these two hadith, and the Shaykh mentions one by one the khasais of the Prophet, and he mentions all of these matters that we have just mentioned. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. I just want to say that the questions that we make in the questionnaire study guide, if we don't complete some of those questions, then generally we're going to send out a modified study guide like I did last week. So please pay attention to that in case some of the questions we didn't reach. In reference to the questions on the study guide for today, one of them is in reference to a khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's not mentioned in the two hadith that the Shaykh mentions here. But when he lists them individually, one by one, the khasais, as we will do in the next class, we'll find that he mentions one that's not in either of those hadith. And that is, it is the what he calls mu'jizatuhu al-khalida. What is that? The Quran, na'am. The miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is eternal. It's not a miracle that the people just saw in that time, but rather it's ongoing. This is a khasisa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he, to the exclusion of the other prophets and messengers, their miracles were seen by the people in their time, were witnessed by the people in their time. But the Quran is for the whole of humanity until Yawm al-Qiyamah, for every human being to witness as a miracle, an ayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, proven the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, proven his truthfulness, and in fact his claim that he has been sent to deliver the message of Allah to the whole of humanity. This Quran is a clear proof of that. It is a clear proof of that. This one of the khasais of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not mentioned in either of those hadith. But at the end of the list, when the Shaykh mentions them individually, he mentions this one, and he didn't mention it in the hadith. So I just wanted to make that point before we close. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.